and welcome back to another episode of the Audience Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt. And in this episode, I'm joined by a new co-host, Matt Medeiros. Matt, how you doing?
Craig, boss, I'm happy boss. To be here.
For those of you who missed our announcement in a previous episode, Matt is our new director of podcaster success. And in this episode, I think we're just going to talk through a little bit about Matt's history as a podcaster, as a content creator, and a little bit of what the heck a director of podcaster success means, specifically here at Castos, and what we all can expect from Matt in this show and kind of from our brand in general. So Matt, does that sound good?
Yeah, today I get to learn what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I think it's appropriate, I think, to talk about it in this podcast because a lot of people have been listening a lot to me here. And I think this is a great way to kind of break the ice a little bit as we're working on, sharing or transitioning a lot of the responsibilities of this show to you to be kind of sharing that workload going forward. And for those of you who haven't listened to much of the Audience Podcast, we have a couple of formats here. One is kind of monologues, which previously would have been me talking and kind of riffing on a particular topic, email marketing or how to record good audio or something like that, kind of, podcast 101 or 201 kind of concepts. We have a lot of interviews with really industry leaders and a really specific niche of podcasting. So I think a good one would have been like Jeff Umbro from Podglomerate talking about the bunch of ways that you can monetize a podcast through advertising. And then we have our newest series, which is our Creator Spotlight, where we talk to our Castos customers, who are a lot of times new podcasters, about the things they're learning as they're really getting into podcasting. And that's really a healthy and refreshing thing for me to talk to new podcasters and share their stories with everyone else here on the podcast, because I think we can all learn from what we're all going through. For those of you who kind of haven't followed along with the podcast much so far, that's a bit the format. And I guess, Matt, you and I will be replacing a little bit of the monologue format with you and I talking about our take on things that are happening in the industry, particular topics that we're getting a lot of questions on and we want to cover in a podcast episode. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I really want to do is get any kind of feedback, and anybody listening to this can just shoot me an email, matt@castos.com, and let me know what you want to hear on the podcast. One of the things that as a podcaster and as somebody who, just enjoys listening to other content creators and how the sausage is made with a lot of these other podcasts or YouTube channels, I'm always interested in the behind the scenes kind of thing. And that's one of the types of segments that I'd like to add that sort of view to the audience content library, right? I like short little bite-sized chunks of that sort of behind the scenes or how things are made kind of thing. And that's sort of one of the things I'm exploring that I'm drafting out in our Notion app and thinking about for the future. So yeah, any kind of take on what you want to hear on the Audience Podcast as a listener, as a Castos user, or just a podcast person, let me know. matt@castos.com.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. I know that in the past we've gotten a lot of questions and feedback and insights from our Facebook group, Podcast Hackers. But yeah, I think, reaching out to Matt directly is a great way to start that dialogue. And that's a really cool way for us to get to know, what folks are kind of looking for more of. So that's great. So I think, Matt, that's a kind of appropriate transition to start talking about a little bit of what you're going to be doing here at Castos. Cause I think the job title is a little descriptive for people who are in the industry, in the SaaS or software industry, but for folks who aren't, what is someone that works in the success department of a company like ours typically do?
Well, first and foremost, just like I alluded to, it's being that first touch to the customers. So in our world of podcasting, it's answering and fielding questions like, how do I start this podcast? What are the resources I should be, tuning into, both either just listening to other podcasts or reading or YouTube channels, that kind of thing. I think somebody in a success role is, as the name implies, it's going to help the user of our services and our products successful with those products, right? Listening to you, having listened to you obviously for many years on your own podcasts, and you know what you've gone through to build up Castos and the Seriously Simple Podcasting plugin. You know, one of the things as every podcaster goes through, every new podcaster goes through is like, you know, boy, my listeners aren't climbing. You know, I'm looking at my Castos stats and my listeners aren't climbing. What can I do to improve that metric? Right. And as somebody who's going to be the director of that part of someone's success here, you know, it's helping them through that, which a lot of it is sort of a mental exercise, I'd say more than a technical exercise, but, you know, sort of being that voice. And hopefully we can reach that through one-on-one conversations, like I said, matt@castos.com for an email address, or through this podcast. And I have other ideas for live shows, live streams on our YouTube channel and things like that. But hopefully just being there to help somebody through their journey as a podcaster.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think the blessing of the technology age that we live in is that it can take so many different forms. I think you just mentioned like four or five different forms that this dialogue and assistance and kind of help that you can give folks can take. And that's really cool. So I hope there's a little bit of something for everybody there that, you know, hey, I don't really do much YouTube, but I'm a big podcast listener. You can hopefully get a lot of value here. Reach out to Matt directly, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, get this information and help kind of wherever you can and wherever is most appropriate for what you're facing. And I think it's a really good point, Matt, that like success for podcasters means something different for everybody at different phases in their journey. Somebody just getting started, you know, what mic do I use? Where, how do I use Squadcast? How do I edit? But then, you know, after 20 episodes or so, it's like, okay, let's get serious about systematizing this so I can pump out another 20 or 200 episodes. And then it's like, hey, okay, now I have thousands of listeners an episode. How do I monetize this thing and make this, you know, a job? And so we hope we can kind of fill all of those gaps for folks as they're progressing.
There's a range of would-be podcasters, and I know you've fielded this question probably a million times, Craig, is like, you know, of course, I'm biased. I think everyone should have a podcast, right? If you're running a brand, a nonprofit, a personal brand, you're working for an organization, hell, even if you have, you know, a large organization that you work for and you know, maybe an internal podcast or something like that would be beneficial to the company, not even just to your customers, but to the company, you know, depending on the size of your organization. But a lot of people start off by saying, I don't really like the sound of my voice. I don't really like the way I look on video and I'm not comfortable. This whole COVID world that we're living in has really forced people to experience technology, right? It's like it pushed, like using Zoom, Squadcast, tuning into webinars. Like it's a thing now that really thrust a lot of people who were once just, you know, I don't know, shy from using those types of technologies. Now it's like, well, this is the way life is for the last 4 or 5 months, however long it's been, which I think is a good thing because it sort of fast tracked a lot of people who are like, oh boy, this technology thing, this live streaming thing, being on a webcam, I think now is much more commonplace. So hopefully it's got a lot of folks over that hurdle and they're ready to make the leap to start producing more content, more audio and video content like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the interesting things that we've seen just in the type of content that's out there and frankly, like the quality of it, is that the level of quality or like the expectation that everybody has is just different, I think, right? So like kids interrupting your Zoom call when you're remote working is really kosher, right? It's not taboo to have, you know, to be podcasting in somewhere that's not like a perfect sound studio that you've rented out for $50 an hour or something like that. So I think that for folks out there at really at any range is to say like, we're all going through some stuff right now that's challenging. And so just getting that content out there, sharing your value with the world is much more important than sounding perfect and publishing every Tuesday and being exactly 30 minutes and all of this stuff that a lot of us, either beginners or you know, more seasoned podcasters or content creators get hung up on is, let's just do this a lot and add value. And if it's not exactly perfect, it's okay, especially now.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So I think it's important for listeners to say like, why should I listen to what Matt has to say, right? Who is this guy? What kind of credibility does he have, frankly, right? A lot of new people listening have listened to me for now almost 40 episodes and have gotten to know me and kind of heard my spiel on a lot of this stuff. But Matt, let's talk about like kind of where you come from in the podcasting and kind of content creation realm a bit.
If I were to spin back my story from the beginnings, my family owned some local car dealerships in my local area for over 50 years. Right. My grandfather started selling used cars way back in the 70s. And then my family, my father and his brothers came in to run these dealerships. And we were always a, low pressure, low volume family owned dealership in the face of giants. Right. And, you know, when you say giants in the car industry, especially in the U.S., you can imagine, you know, what that selling sales process is like and what that experience is like. We were always the family oriented business. And success, you know, for us was making sure that our reputation, you know, stood in the community. We gave back to the community. We worked in the community. And for many folks, all the way up until when we sold the dealership well before the financial crisis in 2008, the folks that worked for us, it was their only job. I mean, there was a handful of people that started with my grandfather when they were 18 and retired, after we sold the business, right? So it was through and through a family-oriented business, and it was success for both the customer and the people working for us. And that's where I sort of, you know, got my roots in everything business, sales, support, you know, service, marketing, and heck, even podcasting. You know, growing up, listening to my father do radio spots, you know, being, you know, radio commercials, right? Going to the local radio station with him to record radio advertisements. And he was on local radio, you know, for different things. They bring him in on for segments. So I was always around radio. And I remember having like a little toy radio that did all kinds of sound effects, you know, when I was young and playing with that stuff. And I built an AM radio for a science project once. And none of this stuff had really dawned on me until I actually started a podcast. I was like, wow, like I've been around this whole like broadcasting medium for longer than I had really had thought of. You know, fast forward there, started a WordPress agency many years ago, worked as a product person in a technology company. Did some WordPress hosting sales for another company, always been around WordPress for the last, you know, 12, 15 years, and running my own podcast in that space as a means to get my name out there and build my own reputation like we did locally, you know, build my own reputation online. And a lot of this doing things in the open and broadcasting yourself, which podcasting lends to be a good, you know, mechanism for that, has actually led me to many opportunities. I mean, podcasting led me to this role. Podcasting led me to my last role. Podcasting led me to grow a WordPress agency.
That's awesome. That's cool to hear. I didn't know that about the kind of the car dealership and the local business aspect. I love chatting with folks who grow up in family businesses because it is so entwined with literally their DNA of, you know, responsibility, taking care of customers, understanding that whole business dynamic. And it really is a family. I mean, Castos is not a big, you know, 500 person company. And so I really feel like we are a family, even though we're supposed to be a tech company and too cool for that. I would absolutely, have someone over to my house to crash if you were traveling over here or something like that, and think that would be great. So that's cool to hear that you come from that kind of those roots. I'd love to chat a little more about your podcast. So the Matt Report is the podcast that I know you through, that I've been on, and it's all about kind of WordPress and the WordPress business world, and things going on there. Really not so different than this podcast and kind of in the podcasting world, but can you give folks a little idea of kind of when you started the show and more about what it's about and kind of the things you've done there?
Yeah, I'll try to give it two angles. One as, you know, somebody who created a podcast and why and sort of like what benefits it's had and how I reach audiences, or an audience. But I remember starting my agency. Again, this is way back, I think late 2007, right around the financial crisis, getting out of the car dealership, me getting out of my other tech job that I had at the time. And I remember starting the agency and looking at we had a local WordPress meetup, and there was a few notables that were in this WordPress meetup that were also starting their agencies, right? And they have since grown, one in particular, grown to a 200 plus person agency. And he was somebody that was well known in the community back then, and it was a small community back then, so it was a very tight-knit group, the WordPress community, that is. And I remember him getting some projects, and he needed help when he was starting his agency. He hired my agency, and these were big brands. He was building out sites for TechCrunch and AOL and like all this stuff. And I was like, how am I going to do the same thing he's doing? Look at how fast he's growing. He's hiring me, and he just started, and I just started. How am I going to build a name? And I was very, very in tune to listening to Mixergy, Andrew Warner's podcast. I still am, but he was really the first tech and entrepreneur podcast that I had listened to back then. And I was like, I'm going to do the same thing Andrew's doing for WordPress. I'm going to be the Mixergy of WordPress. And at first, I didn't even think I would start a podcast. At first, I was like, maybe I'll just do some blog interviews and written things. And but I quickly found that podcasting was much easier for me, and it was much more personable and a great way to connect. And I knew my first guest was the only guest I knew really in the WordPress space. And I interviewed him. And then literally from there, moving forward, I believe the next 20 episodes or 30 episodes were just people I just stalked on Twitter. I was like, I know that you talk about WordPress. I'm doing this WordPress podcast. Would you like to join? Our mutual friend, Brian Castle, being one of them. I saw him talk at a local WordCamp, and I was like, hey, Brian, you're doing that thing called Restaurant Engine. Let's have you on the podcast and talk about that stuff. It compiled from there and compounded from there, I should say. And, I sort of steered it in the direction of entrepreneurs and WordPress and what people are doing in the WordPress space. It's a huge space. There's people that are just agency owners. There are people who are just product owners. There's folks like you, you've been on the show, who are, in WordPress, but also not in WordPress fully, all of that, fun stuff. In the agency world, I used it as leverage. Right. And this is a thing you can do with a podcast. So if you have a services company, you're like, what's a podcast going to do for a services company? Maybe I'm a consultant. Maybe I'm a tax consultant. It's not even technical or technology. I use it as leverage. So when people say, well, why should we hire your agency over this other WordPress agency? Like, their WordPress portfolio looks way better than yours. Well, yeah, but I've got the highest rated WordPress podcast on iTunes, and I have all of this stuff I've put out into the public. If you want to listen to these three episodes where I talk about customer service and how we build sites, it's 3 hours of intimate, intimate conversation of how I work with customers. And if you don't like it, maybe we don't align. Well, maybe we're not a good fit. But if you do like it, that other agency over there doesn't put that out into the open, but I do. And that won deals for me, when I was doing it. And like I mentioned before, it led to new opportunities in my life. So it's also an advantage there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think this like concept of working in public is really a lot of people's resume and a business's kind of social proof and credibility that, if it's, you want to go look for a job, a lot of people ask, what have you done? And you need to be able to show them a Dribbble portfolio if you're a designer, or a podcast if you're a content creator, or a GitHub open source repo if you're a developer. If you're a business, you need to say, hey, this is what we are all about. These are the things we do and the things we're interested in and what we stand for. This is our podcast. This is our blog. This is our YouTube channel. This is our open source contributions. If you're a software company, it's your street cred, I think.
Right.
And I mean, that's a big reason that you and I are talking here today is I think we felt so strongly that this is so important that we needed somebody who has done a lot of this, like you have, to come in and help with this aspect of what we're doing. Because I think more and more people, I shouldn't say more and more, people have always bought from people that they know, like, and trust. And more and more, that is just the things that you do and kind of really showing first who you are. And for me, the easiest, most transparent way to do that is to create content in our industry. And that's hopefully what we're doing here.
So, I mean, I've always been encouraging people to start a podcast. I do a local podcast for my local business community as well. And that is literally the number one thing that I tell people that they should start with, right? And I have my own definitions for what a podcast is. We can get into that in later episodes. But it's not just about, I think people sort of get lost in the listener count. How am I going to run advertisements on this? How can I push, my own product on it? But a lot of it is relationship building and learning about not just, how to do something. A lot of people say, well, I do a podcast so that I can be the dumbest person on the call and I can learn from somebody else, which I totally understand. And it's a total viable thing, but it's also about learning about what the market's doing, what your customers might be doing, how people perceive your brand. Relationship building still is number one for me as a podcaster. It's not about sponsorships. It's not about the downloads. It's not about how can I, is this converting on my product or is my product converting through this podcast? It's about relationship building. Meeting somebody new, providing value, even for them on the call, and then connecting with their network as well. So that's always been top of mind for me as a podcaster.
Yeah, and I think even if I think back about my conversation with Jack Reesider, it's been 15 episodes ago, maybe. But if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to it. It's really wonderful. He has an entertainment podcast, right? It's not to kind of further his business, or it's not a part of his business. The Darknet Diaries is a education entertainment show about web security and hacks and things like that. But Jack talks about the networking and the community and relationship building with his listeners in exactly the same way that you just did. And the ultimate kind of goal or like the definition of success for his show is very different than from ours. And his is ads and downloads and things like that. So I think that it's interesting hearing what you say. And I agree that like the goal, what is it? What am I trying to say? Like the most important thing is the relationship with our listeners and our community. The, right. The place we're trying to go may be different, but it's cool that like, I think a lot of successful podcasters will echo what you said, that the most important thing is staying in touch with your community, and the ultimate kind of outcome of your show, if it's successful, can be different. And so that's, I think, something that we try to keep in mind with this show specifically is there are a lot of different types of podcasters and a lot of different reasons people have podcasts. And we try very hard to keep this show open to all of those. And as much as we can, without hurting a lot of these kind of examples, generalize things that we have done and that we think are important, and people that we have on the show to where the lessons that they're talking about apply to everybody. And so I hope we're doing a good job of that, but that's, I think it's interesting when these kind of universal truths do come out across the spectrum of podcasting.
This is where I tell my boss, you're doing a fine job, Frank. Because I've been listening to it even before we had considered working together. So I've always tuned in to learn these types of things myself. It's a lifelong journey, is this learning stuff. And that's what podcasting is all about. Creatively, in your head, how does me joining the team open you up to more areas of opportunity other than vacationing by the sea?
Yeah, not a lot of that happening these days. Interestingly, one of the things that I think a lot of people feel as content creators, and especially like solo content creators, is it's exhausting and kind of scary to do all of it by yourself and make all of these decisions by yourself. And so I think maybe it's a cop out, but I think one of the things I'm most excited about is just to have somebody that I know and trust and respect to do a lot of these content pieces alongside. Maybe we'll do some podcast episodes together. I think a lot of times we won't, because we both come from a little different perspectives, and we maybe want to talk about different parts of the company or podcasting or business or whatever that our audience is interested in. But I think a lot of it is honestly having somebody to talk to about this stuff that is really, really important in the long run. And I say that because like we are not, I hope, a flash in the pan kind of company. We're going to be here for a long time. And to build the infrastructure to have a really solid content strategy that I honestly can continue contributing to for a long time is really important. And doing that by yourself for years on end is hard. And yeah, it's exhausting and kind of scary. So I think a big part of it is just having, you know, a friend in the business to do this stuff with. But also, like, and we've seen this already, and, you know, for those listening, Matt is in his 14th day on the job here today, and the additional creative juice running around the company, having another content creator on board and having someone else that has business experience, you know, for us specifically, and has done a lot of this stuff before, and giving that perspective to a lot of the things we're doing with our brand is really refreshing. Because again, you know, I have a perspective, Denise on our team who kind of runs marketing has a perspective, and you have a perspective. And now we just added 50% more to this, which in turn really makes it like three or four times more points of view that we have on almost everything we do. So I think I realized that like I could probably create all the content that we need to create, but it's just exhausting. And I think for folks out there who might be in the same boat, like don't feel bad if that's you. If you're like, I can't talk about this anymore, or I don't want to do this by myself anymore, then that's cool. You know, get a co-host, right? So Matt, you're a co-host, right? Like that's kind of a big part of how I view this. I think additionally, like one of the more strategic things maybe was for us specifically, and I think again, people take away from this how it applies to you and your situation, your business, is you come from a very strong background and kind of long history in the WordPress community. And WordPress is a community like podcasting. And I don't come from that strong or, you know, longstanding background. And so I think for us, kind of diversifying the strengths that we have as a company with bringing someone in with a really strong WordPress experience was strategically really important. And so I guess, you know, for folks out there listening saying, how does this apply to me? Like if you come from a particular point of view or background on your topic or in your industry, bringing someone else into your show or your organization that is additive and complementary to where you come from, I think is a really smart thing. You know, Matt, one of the scary things, honestly, about doing that is there is someone in our organization now that knows a heck of a lot more than I do about a really important thing. And as a leader, that's awesome. And it's a little scary.
As an owner, right? If you've been doing it yourself for years, it's a little scary to give somebody that ownership because they're not going to do it the way that you did it. They might not do it. You know, I might not do it the way that you would do it. And there's like that initial like, oh boy, mm-hmm. Are they doing it the right way? But, you know, in the content creation side, it's good to hear you say like, this is something you want and to open up that creativity angle for you.
Yeah.
But I can also understand the stress of it. It's like you just said, like, boy, I don't know as much about the WordPress community as Matt does. So,
and I think that's a really easy thing to say for me, but like, it's something that as we're going through this transition of me owning a lot of the content and all of this content, and that strategy going forward is how do we take and say, okay, Matt brings a ton of experience, really different perspective than me on a lot of things. How do we bring that into our team so it's additive and so that everybody feels like all of our opinions and contributions are valid and welcome and we all want more of them, but not all of them are right. You know, and I think that last part is where it's hard is we are all trying very hard to do the best we can and we're all going to mess up sometimes. We're all going to say things that are not right. And how do we keep that gate open for everybody kind of emotionally, but knowing that like, ultimately we're going to disagree on some stuff and that's cool. And that's just part of it. You know, it's like a you know, marriage or a business partnership or whatever that you have to be okay disagreeing and try to do it as constructively as possible. I think that's when you bring somebody in and try to hand something like this off or partner on it, that part of it and that really interpersonal part of it is tricky and something that I think you and I both are aware of and will be conscious of being healthy about. I thought it'd be fun to talk about, if you want, some of the ideas that you have. I think you kind of alluded to, you know, some really short takes on things, Do you want, are you comfortable talking about some of the ideas you have? Maybe be a good way to kind of get listener feedback on things.
Yeah, 100%. So, you want just my content ideas, right? Not the top secret product ideas.
Yeah. Just the content stuff.
All right. So content ideas. Yeah. Number one, along with, co-hosting the show, bringing on guests that I'm familiar with. I really want to go down the, and not that you haven't already, Craig, but I think one particular vertical I want to go into because I think it is so hand in hand, are more YouTube creators on the show, or just getting that angle of YouTube. I mean, obviously, Cassos, you can republish to YouTube, so there's an obvious connection there. But I really like going down the YouTube creator's mindset, especially the smaller YouTube creators. You know, anyone under, let's say, 100,000 subscribers or 400,000 subscribers would, I think, technically be considered a small YouTube creator. I'm very interested in diving into that content. I'm also interested in doing more of these sort of, I don't have a name for them yet. I'm sure we'll talk about them in the marketing channel, but these little hot takes on different ingredients to creating a successful podcast. What makes a great subscribe page? What makes a great podcast landing page? How do we sprinkle in good call to actions in an audio podcast? And doing these things in like these quick 4 or 5 minute takes would be interesting. Or even, you know, quote unquote, dialing up a notable person who's already doing this really well and just doing a quick over the phone, air quotes, interview on that. Not a full on 30 minute interview, but 4 or 5 minutes telling me about this one thing. Thanks. See you in the next episode. I also want to start doing much more live streaming, much more presentation of not only Cassos the product, but, you know, connecting your WordPress site, you know, leveraging that thing that I know about WordPress, and showcasing some of that stuff on our YouTube channel. Right. So if you are using WordPress, which most people are, it's the largest, most popular content management system in the world. How do we build out a WordPress site that, number one, integrates with our Seriously Simple podcasting plugin, Castos? But, you know, what are the other areas that touch a podcast? Most people are selling maybe a membership. Most people are selling a product. How do we make those connections? How can you look at podcasting as a way to push the other sides of your business? So content, I guess, at the end of the day, for all of those areas is the stuff that, you know, I'm super excited to get into. Really trying to be, again, from that success angle, you know, I think trying to be as transparent as I can be. Right. I think a lot of people like to tune into that. You and I have talked about this in the past. The reason why I'm so bullish on even things like Twitch or gaming channels is because there's this connection that a viewer has with, let's say, a video game streamer, predominantly because they're entertaining, they're playing a fun game, and it's sort of, you know, behind the scenes on how they like think about playing a game, or that kind of, you know, the strategy behind it, why they do certain things. I think there's some parts of that I can pull into the Cassos brand, especially on YouTube and especially for podcasting.
Yeah. I think you've kind of alluded to this one, but I'll add that I think it would be fun to, and technically, I don't know how exactly you do it, to kind of live stream how we make an episode.
Yeah.
So from before we hit record here in Squadcast to editing, to publishing, to show notes, and it would be, you know what, we'll talk for 45 minutes today. It would be 2 or 3 hours maybe, but I think it would be really interesting for you and I to talk through kind of how we think about things. I'm sure I would learn a lot from watching how you do things, and, you know, maybe folks out there would learn from kind of how we approach the whole thing of, you know, we talked for 5 minutes before this episode about what we're going to talk about, and we have some notes, and how do we think about those, and how useful are them? How useful are those notes, and to what extent do we script things out? And I think some of that behind the scenes stuff is pretty interesting.
Yeah. For sure.
Cool. Well, Matt, this is a lot of fun. Again, folks, I think one of the biggest things that we wanted to do today is to introduce Matt. So Matt, welcome. We're super excited for you to be here. I think for anybody who has feedback or questions about the podcast, podcasting in general, hit up Matt at Cassos.com. And we look forward to having you on the show here a lot more here in the future and sharing, you know, a lot of stuff that you know about podcasting with everybody.
Craig, do we have an official call to action for this podcast? You know, listening to dozens of episodes and I don't recall one being sprinkled into the show.
Yeah, and putting me on the spot. No, we don't. We don't. I think the call to action always, and then, man, this is a good takeaway from, I think the call to action should always be to subscribe so that you get the next episode. So wherever you subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, we will be on here shortly. You know, subscribe to the Audience Podcast. If you just type in audience in the search box, we typically show up as the first result. Yeah, please subscribe so you get the next episodes. You hear Matt and I and the guests we have on here down the line. Is that a good call to action? Is that what you would say?
Listen, Craig, here's what I always do. I'm going to commit you to this. We're going to use, and in the future, well, of course, you have to approve it, but castos.com/subscribe. Castos.com/subscribe. And we go to that page, and there's all the links to all of the major places that you can subscribe and listen to podcasts. And you can join our email list at castos.com/subscribe.